You know, boss says, oh, you're doing a good job. Okay. Boss says, oh, you're not doing a good job. Okay. You work a little harder or whatever, but you're not taking the touch. You're not really here. You're the space in the room, no matter what room you may be in. And you know that anyone else that you're contacting is also the space in the room, no matter what room you're in. But you don't have to keep reminding yourself of that because there's no you there. So there's not a constant, oh, I am the space, I am the space, I am the space. No, there's a nice flow, just as if you're the dream character. You may know you're dreaming. You don't have to keep saying, I'm dreaming. You go and you do whatever you need to do, and then you wake up, and that's it. You don't have to keep reminding yourself you're Rami. You know, you don't wake up in the morning and say, okay, I am Rami. And Rami, what does Rami do right away? Rami will go and brush his teeth. And he brushes his teeth 100 times this way and 100 times this way. It's not you just wake up, go, brush your teeth. You're not counting the number of strokes of brushing teeth. Or maybe one day you shower first and then brush your teeth. Or you brush your teeth and then you shower. There's no set program to be Rami. And once you know yourself in a real sense, there's no set program. You'll notice that these scenes are appearing and disappearing before you. And that's it.
So that means we no need to take charge of the day-to-day activities separately. That detachment from them comes when one knows who is in the real sense. Correct, sir.
Well, see, it's not just you know yourself in a real sense. Right now, you could know. Maharaj has said, you are not body, you are not body, you're not going to remain the body. Your job, so to speak, is to find this for yourself. Internalize this reality. Okay, I'm not body. If I'm not body, then the things that the body is doing, I don't have to be like, oh no, the body's doing this thing. But I also don't have to remind myself that I'm formless. I can go about my daily activities quite nicely. If for some reason in the beginning, if I forget myself and I start to get involved and get very detailed, like, oh my God, this terrible thing is happening. Then I sit back and I remain with self as self. That's right. Nothing's happening. It's all good. Everything's okay. Good, good. Because nothing's happening. Nothing will ever happen. It can't happen. You're formless. All happenings are with form and you're formless. And again, you don't have to. See, the mind is going to stop. Like right now, you're believing what the mind is saying because you're still identified with, okay, these are my thoughts. But this is not true because you're formless and the mind came along with the body, which you are not. So eventually, you're going to disregard these thoughts. Because you know yourself now. And then it's spontaneous action. It's spontaneous action right now, but you as an afterthought create a doer through the idea of some action. I thought about going to the store. I went to the store. Therefore, I'm the doer of going to the store. Untrue. Reality is, you went to the store. And there's just a body moving to the store, and in the moment, something is grasped, and you say, okay, I need to buy this thing, buy that thing. But you're also not sitting there and calculating and mentating on these things. These are spontaneous actions in the moment. You might even write a shopping list. That's still spontaneous, because when you write the list, oh, look, I need orange juice, I need milk, and I need a bagel. And then I go to the store, I get this, check, check, check. Put it, I pay for it, I go home, I put it away, that's it. But I'm not consistently saying, wow, Rami went to the grocery store and Rami got the orange juice and everything. If at all you want to say anything, you can always say, thank you, Master. You know, I got everything that I needed. You provide always, Jai Sadhguru. Because I do that sometimes. Like when I'm, especially sometimes I'm eating something and it's so damn delicious, I have to say, oh, Master, thank you, thank you. I eat so good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I do that.
How did you get this thing, sir? Like, this way of, whenever you are going to engage, like now you said the delicious food, that response, how did you learn? Actually, you said like, you know, before going to bed, people bow to, you know, like you bow to the guru.
Yeah, I put my hands on the pillow, and now that I will mentate an image of bowing to Maharaja's feet, because I see Maharaja's picture and I bow to his feet and I say Jai Sadguru. And then I'll sit and maybe read a little bit of book and then go to sleep.
How did you learn this? Yeah.
This is selfless self devotion. Basically, it's spontaneous devotion. It's not like John is doing all these things, you see. And the pictures came about, you know, York, I got the ashram feed, and whenever I see a very beautiful image, I say, oh, I want to create a picture. And I send it to York Photo. Then all of a sudden, I get a whole bunch of York photos. Next thing I know, I'm going to the store, and I'm getting some frames, or I'm ordering frames online. And then I'm putting the pictures, and I just put more pictures. And then I like to bow to the pictures as I'm walking through the day. I have pictures at my desk, if we ever go back to like physical desk place. I have pictures of Maharaj, but I've had pictures of Maharaj at my desk before I met Maharaj, simply because it's like, you know, throughout the day. And people do all kinds of things. They'll put images and things on their desk because you start to... This spirit wants attention, wants this flow. So I bow at work. I don't do it in front of the people, but just like I told you, before I went to go see Maharaj, I was listening to the bhajans, trying to, because Maharaj had said, listen to bhajans. So I listened to bhajans. I read Selfless Self, according to my journal, I didn't realize, but 5 times I read Selfless Self from cover to cover, before seeing Maharaj. And also the Tukaram Abhangas, that came about where I spontaneously, I don't know how I did it, because I wasn't like, but I went there and I printed it out and I started reading it, because in the Abhangas it says, if you want realization, you read this every night. So I said, I want realization. I read this every night. And I took it all the way to India. And even while I was in the ashram, and that's another thing, when I was in the ashram and Maharaj allowed me to have this space next to the ashram, oh, I was so grateful. I was bowing, you know, the room right next to the ashram. Yeah, I got that. And I was, oh, thank you. And I was so grateful, because it was just like a, see, I knew Maharaj was God. You know, this concept of God, of being this presence that I was feeling using body form. I knew I was going to see God. Like, there was no doubt in my mind. And I kind of understood that this was the last of it, because the mind kept saying, okay, you're experiencing this presence and all this stuff, but you're going crazy. And a lot of people around me, they said, why can't you just, instead of having these amazing spiritual experiences, why don't you just go to church, bow like a good guy, go to church on Sunday, and forget God through the week? But see, I couldn't. I couldn't. I wanted to meet Maharaj so that I could bow to the feet of God in the form of Maharaj. And I knew this is what it was. And when God gave me a room in the ashram, I was like, oh, because even Charles beforehand, he said, you might have to bring a tent because we might not have any room in the ashram. That didn't deter me. I bought a tent. I brought a tent to India because I was fully prepared. If I'm in God's house and I have to sleep outside, I'm okay with that. This was the... You know, I don't know what else to say. And I know God is just a term for the formless presence that you are. In the understanding of going to Maharaj, I knew that was God. I am going to see God. God has invited me to come to India. And that's why the whole trip of India, it's like, you know, like follow the yellow brick road. I'm off to see God. I'm off to see God. I'm very happy about this. And I go to the ashram. I bow Oh, master, I start to hear Maharaj. I start to feel that presence to presence. And I write about that in my journal. Presence to presence, I'd never felt like that. And it was a theory, so to speak, but never a direct experience. And when I was with Maharaj and that presence to presence dissolved both body forms, and it was just this amazing, you feel just like an opening of peace, of bliss, of I don't even know what you would call it. And then Maharaj gave the mantra. And I hear a lot of times, you know, some devotees, they go and do the mantra, some don't. For me, you understand, God just gave me the words to unwind my human self and to be free of this body-based identity so that I could be one with my master, which is really all I wanted to be. And also, on the really crazy side, when I left for India, because like I'd watch Muji, and a lot of Muji devotees, they have their heads. Ooh, what is that? Muji devotees will have their heads completely shaved, and they'd show this, like them shaving their heads. I was totally, completely willing that if Maharaj said, "We're shaving your head," yes, master, shave my head. So this is the
complete submission.
Absolutely. And it's not like, you know, there may be some people who say, well, that's just too much because I couldn't give up myself. But that's because they still think there's a self to give up. And once you remain with your selfless self, you'll know there's no self to give up. And the only thing you can do is give up this self, which can't be given up, to surrender completely. Using the concept of surrender and the concept, I am a body, surrender that I am a body. Surrender that individuality, which is not true anyway, but everybody wants to say, I'm somebody. No, your somebodyness is causing all the pain and misery, and it's absolutely illusion. So you are torturing yourself for nothing.
Sir, as a seeker, where do you think we are committing mistake? What is the fundamental mistake is wrong identification. So, what do you think, like, making me, to cling on to that identity? You know, why, you know, even though I have been listening, you are being with Maharaj, sir, even though there is a lot of suffering in the life, still I cling on to this body identification. So where, you know, as a seeker, you know, we lack to see, me lack to see.
Because you're taking illusion as reality and thinking reality is a possibility. Reality is real, and this illusory is not. It's absolutely not. So whatever you think of as Rami, just you say, okay, master, I leave this Rami at your feet. And constant devotion, constant meditation, constant mantra.
But in the way you are saying, it's definitely not the, you know, it's a reminder, like a memory, you know, it's not a response of memory.
Once? No. That's See, there's no doubt in myself that I'm anything. Like, there's, I don't have any of these thoughts about being a somebody or anything like this. I absolutely know myself without any doubt of any kind. And there's no doubter, no doubts, no nothing. This is the conviction. I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. Body's not my identity. So when you're asking about, like, how do you say that you don't keep reminding yourself and this and that, this spontaneous conviction must happen. Otherwise, it's just a good idea. But if you convince yourself, like, you've heard from Maharaj, you've heard me say, you've heard Nisargadatta Maharaj say, you've heard everybody say, you are not a body form. You are formless, invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity. Accept your selfless self. There is no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. So now you live this in the next moment. And you continue with the mantra. The mantra, in the experience that I was having with mantra, the mantra, while my mind was kept busy with mantra, my body kept going through different things without creating an experiencer, because the mind couldn't create an experiencer by saying, I experienced, because all the mind could say was mantra. And mantra while making dinner, mantra while making lunch, mantra here, mantra there, going doing the bhajans, you lose track of time, you're starting to get the spontaneous actions in the moment. And as I explained before about the bathroom experiences, some days scalding hot water, some days cold water. Mantra allowed the experience of no experience. No experiencer was created. Even using mantra and walking all through the whole India, Nashik, you know, everywhere, just walking and mantra, mantra, mantra. I wound up like 10 kilometers away. I had to take one of those little rickshaws back because I had totally lost where I was walking, what I was seeing, what I was doing, concentrating on mantra and just moving about. Formlessly, not walking through India as John, just mantra, scenes are coming and going, and that's it. Until the end, then I was like, oh, I think I'm a little bit, and I asked somebody where the ashram was, and yeah, they're like, oh yeah, yeah, you need a rickshaw to take you back. I said, oh, okay. And then Maharaj asked me, he said, no, 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 please don't do that because it's a city, just like any city. Like if you were to be wandering around New York City, just aimlessly wandering around, it's probably not such a great idea. And, you know, then Maharaj says, please don't do that. So I didn't do it anymore. But that's where the mantra took me, you understand. It dissolved me, and then it was just the mantra walking. There was no longer India. It was mantra walking. Formlessly.
Yeah, so generally thoughts are there to, you know, continue this false identity. So that is broken with the aid of mantra.
Yes. Yeah, the mantra, again, remember, the way I saw Maharaj was God in human form. And Maharaj said, I put my hand on your head, I give you mantra initiation. The label of this body was given by parents. This mantra is now given by your own self to yourself to unwind these false ideas that you currently have about yourself, that I am John receiving the mantra. I think it's Nisargadatta Maharaj who says it's consciousness that gives consciousness the mantra that is used through the vehicle of body through consciousness.
One of the doubt is, see, sir, Like a mantra, yes, is helping to clear these layers or, you know, this false yes. identity. But sometimes, you know, this belief is not there. So at that time, this repetition is being stopped. So again, the whole old self, old patterns hits so strongly. It could be, you know, old habits. Old personality related thoughts, all these things. So the question comes, like, how is mantra is really working? Then later again, you know, after suffering enough, again, okay, yeah, you know, it's really worked. So at least
these spaces between should be shorter and shorter. The spaces between should be shorter. You're saying, oh, I'm with mantra, mantra, mantra. See, all of these things that we call so-called challenges or so-called problems, remember, you're the selfless self. The entire world's your projection. You're projecting these things. So this thing that seems challenging or seems painful is only painful for Rami.
Yeah, because
for the selfless self that has this little layer of Rami, it's actually the opportunity to remove Rami. If Rami is the issue, we remove Rami with mantra. Because Rami is an idea, easily seen through. So a situation comes up that would bother Rami, well, let's remove Rami. So like Maharaj says, you are disturbing the peace. Peace is there. You are disturbing it. So when something's painful for Rami, we concentrate on the mantra to remove Rami. Then selfless self has no pain from this situation, and thus no pain. Everything is good. No worries. We're removing Rami slowly, silently, and permanently. See, if John believes he's John, pain and pleasure will always be there. Because John wants to avoid these things or wants to grasp these things. But remaining with mantra and so that I... just presence, just I, just I. Formlessness doesn't desire anything. It doesn't really make sense. How can a desire, formlessness that you are, you know yourself as the space in the room, even if they put a diamond in the middle of the room, how would you desire that? How could a desire arise to seize the diamond in the room if you know yourself as the space? The diamond and the garbage would be exactly the same for you. This is the reality. Rami could use money, more money, less money, these sort of things, but the space doesn't need these things at all. So since Rami is the thing that wants these things, we use mantra to slowly, silently, and permanently dissolve this concept of Rami.
I asked too many questions. I stopped it.
No, it's okay. But just remember, just like if you want to know yourself, think that someone has a pistol to your head. And they say, you have now until 8 o'clock. And if you don't know yourself by then, goodbye. This is the urgency, constant. I must know myself. Who am I? I know I'm not Rami. Ramakant Maharaj says I'm not Rami. Nisargadatta Maharaj says I'm not Rami. All the way back, every single master that you've ever heard or read has said there's no Rami at all. So why is Rami disturbed?
Death-like urgency.
Complete urgency, yes. I mean, when I went to see Maharaj, I gave myself 30 days because I wasn't sure exactly how long you know, that I would want to be whatever. I don't know. I made it for 30 days, basically. And I took off the whole 30 days. And after mantra, after a couple of days, and then after being given mantra, being blessed with horrible food poisoning, then the mantra just became one with myself, the self. It continued. It was, you know, the book Selfless Self, I'd read the reader. I felt the presence through the book. I felt the presence when I was speaking to Maharaj through Skype. And when I came to India, like I said, the presence was guiding and guiding and guiding. And so I came to Maharaj and surrendered everything. And what is surrendering everything? Like Maharaj says, it's not putting garlands and bowing to the feet. Surrendering everything is to use mantra, remain with your selfless self, and continue with mantra. And Maharaj talks all the time, because people will say, I'm meditating for 2 hours with mantra. Okay, this is good. But the concept of meditation should dissolve within the mantra. There shouldn't be no set times for mantra. Mantra should be continuous. When you see yourself forgetting mantra, oh, return back to mantra. That's it. Remaining.
So you're saying, yeah, time and space should be dissolved, you know, when the mantra is going on.
Absolutely. And if you forget, then you just remind yourself, oh, I know I'm not body, but somehow my mind, I'm believing these thoughts that I'm body. So back to mantra. I just noticed I was away from mantra. In the book that Andrew talked about, Brother Lawrence, he says the same exact thing. He says, throughout the entire day, I want to keep my mind on the presence of God. And when I find myself straying a little bit, I want to return it quickly to the presence of God. The same is here. When we're going throughout our day, mantra. Because again, this may sound crazy, but it's the absolute truth. God, Brahman, Paramatman, Master, came to the form of Sri Ramakant Maharaj and said, this is the last stop. Here's this mantra. Keep this mantra. Those that give the seriousness of the mantra, and he gave that story about the people who they don't know the value of a gem. Like one, there's a story, a guru gives somebody one gem, yes? And he goes to his mother and he says, oh, look, mother, I have this gem. What do you think it's worth? Because the guru says, go find the worth of this, yeah? So he looks at this and his mother says, it's probably like 10 rupees, something like this. Oh, very nice. Then he goes to the store, a little bit into town. And this guy says, 500 rupees. And he's, wow, this is amazing. So then he goes a little bit further into the larger city. And he asks the person, and the person looks and they say, this is 10,000 rupees. And he's looking and he goes a little bit further outside. And he goes to this huge jewelry store. And this person specializes in rare exotic gems. And he shows the gem. And this store owner says, this that you have, you could buy my entire store with this. Because he knows the true value of this. When a devotee goes to Maharaj and understands, that's God, man. You know, that's God, that's Brahman, that's Shiva, whatever you want to call it. That is the formless presence in form saying, this mantra I give to you, this will erase all the false beliefs and all the false concepts because of long association with the body. You are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. This life that you believe yourself to be living is not true. It is very much similar to a dream. When you wake up from dream, it's finished. And when this body can no longer sustain the illusion of experience, you will no longer experience body-based existence. However, you are not a body. You were not a body, and you're not going to remain a body. Body is not your identity.
So one more curious thing, you know, in your journey is, see, I myself, though, even though 28, I'm seeing a lot of physical ailments, sir, like a face, stomach ache, backache. So these rest from last 2 months. And these things, maybe I just wonder, like when I get this body get older, how much energy that, you know, old age problems draw, like, you know, like, you know, I mean, not only the old age or, you know, our day-to-day identification, it takes away a lot of energy. So just, you know, I wonder, where do you draw energy to see, you know, beyond this thing or to do the mantra?
It's constant. And what you were just speaking about, I shared with the group when I went in for my pacemaker. Mm-hmm. You know, I was on the train and I was with mantra because a thought did come. Whoa, this pacemaker, this is kind of a little bit scary thing. You know, even though, okay, I know I'm the formlessness, but the formlessness, this body that the formlessness is using, is about to go in for a pacemaker operation that they've already said one of the side effects is possible death. So, you know, when they read off the list of potentialities of the surgery, and death is one of them, and you have to sign that, there can be a little bit of a thought of, ooh. So, but instead, on the train, mantra, mantra, mantra. Okay, get off the train, go into the place for the bus, go down, get to the hospital. Okay, mantra, sign in, ask where I'm supposed to be. Okay, go here. Okay, the lady, she sits you down. She comes, takes the blood pressure. We'll be with you in a moment. Mantra, just remain with myself, with self. Remain with the self, with self. Go in, do all the everything. And up until the point when they put me out, you know, because you have to go under, it was just mantra. It was just remaining with self, with self. Just I. No experiencer. The only experience was that I could relate this thing had happened and I went through it with mantra. I could only see previously, not creating a doer, but knowing that the mantra allowed this body to go through this whole process without any blips on the radar of this is happening to me. And food poisoning actually was the most blessing because it set up for this experience, for, you know, this pacemaker. Had I not had the food poisoning experience, maybe, and at that time I think Maharaj was still in the body, I might have texted him and said, oh, you know, this thing, because I hadn't gone through that experience with mantra yet of the food poisoning. It would only be a conceptual idea of how it would work going through with the heart. But because of direct experience, and this is why it's so important to know yourself in a real sense, because of direct experience, the heart thing was just like the food poisoning. Remain with mantra through the experience. No experiencer is created. No thought train about the experience because you're not experiencing.
Was this pacemaker thing after visiting India?
Oh, when, yeah, was it was happened? After. Yeah, it was in 2016, I think, I had the pacemaker put in. Or maybe 2017. I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly. I guess it was 2017 because we were already doing these talks. I don't honestly remember. My doctor has it on, see, another thing. My doctor has it on a clipboard when my pacemaker was, and my little box here checks the battery and makes sure I'm okay. And other than that, I don't think about this pacemaker. Yet, if you're sitting and your back is getting sore, okay, you Google what, like you have the heating pad or something like this, you put it, okay. But you don't sit there and you say, you know, my body's falling apart. 10 years from now, where's this body going to be? How am I going to feel? Just like a lot of folks will say about senility. Well, what good is it to know yourself in a real sense now, and then as you grow older, you become senile and you forget everything, including even your name, which is good, actually. But you say, well, now how do I remember my spirituality? But see, you're in contact with your own selfless self. This does not change. You can forget who you are. You can forget that you have children or that you have retired from such and such. You can forget what day it is or whether you just ate. But you're never going to forget your own selfless self because there's no remembering and no forgetting. That is the reality. You don't have to remember to be you.
So I guess that's the state you were in when you were walking around India.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because you don't think of yourself as I'm a foreigner and maybe I shouldn't be in this part of the area or how it looks or what will happen to me or what do these people think of me. There's nothing. You're just formlessly floating about.
I guess you could call it a state of non-bias. It's not necessarily neutral. It's whatever it is, but it's not anything. It's not biased anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there'd be spontaneous action in the moment. Somebody offers you a fruit or something. No, yes, that's it. But you know what I'm saying? There's not a, you're not carrying yourself around. I think Siddhameshwara Maharaj says it beautifully about stop carrying this dead body around with you. It's heavy. Just be your own self. Because this is a dead body, formless presence, but you don't have to wear this body so tight where you're dragging it around with you. Everywhere I go, I have this body around my neck. No, you don't have to do this.
I guess maybe that's the beauty of the mantra is I'll latch on to a concept like I am unbiased or I am everything is just as well and I can experience the presence of everything being just as well without bias or but then I end up having to remind myself of that whereas if your mantra just even though it might not seem like it's doing anything at the time, it's placing yourself, it's eliminating the thoughts about whether you're biased or not.
Well, remember again, like Maharaj says, the mantra is like a mother who wants to cook a dinner. And the children are playing and running in the house and all this sort of stuff. They want mom's attention. But mom can't give attention and cook dinner at the same time. So she gives the kids some little toys. And as the kids are being entertained with the toys, she can concentrate on cooking the dinner. And it's exactly the same with the mantra. As the mind is concentrating with the mantra, then you, the selfless self, you can pay attention to yourself. The presence with presence, the I am with I am, the whatever you want to call it. You can pay attention to yourself without all these scattered things flying around. So you give the children your thoughts, your mind activity, these toys, the mantra, and you can then remain with yourself. That's also why Maharaj says it's very difficult to just sit and remain with yourself, so you have the concept of meditating first. You sit in meditation as this body form, desiring to feel the presence, when in reality it's presence meditating on presence, using the body form as a medium, and there really is no meditation. And you're just contacting yourself with yourself over and over, slowly, silently, and permanently, removing all the illusory layers that you believe are true. And your relations, all relations came along with the body. Your job came along with the body. Every time you use thoughts or mind, you're using the mind that came along with the body. You're prior to mind. You're prior to body. You're prior to the sense I am. Maharaj says prior to beingness. So when you're saying about discriminating and all this sort of stuff, truly it's just spontaneous action in the moment. There's not a lot of thought going into whatever it is. Unless, again, like, you know, if my son calls me and says, Dad, I'd like you to come up Saturday and make sure you bring, I don't know, some something. I have to, okay, I mark this down. Saturday, and, you know, and bring this. That's it. And if I forget it, oh, sorry, I forgot this thing. But I'm not like, oh, I'm a terrible dad, I forgot this thing or whatever. I just, oh, sorry, man, I totally forgot. I'll bring it next time. See, this self-consciousness of I have to behave this way, I have to look this way, I have to achieve this, I have to achieve that. Remember, it's a long dream. No matter what you accomplish, no matter what you do, no matter how much plans and goals you create for yourself, in the end, it will be gone. So why worry about it? And same with competition. Do what's in front of you, do your best, do your job, do your duties. Don't undercut people or try to be, you know, the best at this and push people out or anything like that. Do the very best for yourself, competing against yourself, if you want to say this, just remaining with yourself as the experience is occurring in the moment, you do the very best you can. But understanding that it's a dream. And just as, you know, if you lay down at sleep tonight and you dreamt yourself as a little kid, and then the little kid who went to high school did really well in basketball or whatever. Then you went to college on a scholarship, and then you learned a lot, and you got a great job, and you met a great woman, and you started a great family, and everything was going great, and then you woke up. So, are you striving and struggling? You might have been striving and struggling in the dream because you didn't recognize it as a dream. You thought it was the reality. Now you know the reality, so there's no need to strive and struggle. And you know that when this body form no longer can sustain this illusion of experience, you'll no longer be experiencing any of this. And yet you, the experiencer, of course, you're there, because whether the experience is there or not of existence, you exist. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you weren't there first, there'd be no, like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, I am is the news that you exist, but that's the news presented to the one that existed.
That's the news presented to the one that thought it was existing?
That's the one that was existing that did not know existence, yourself. And then this news I am appeared to the one that was but didn't know they were, which is yourself, your own selfless self. If there was nothing there, to whom would this news I exist appear? You're prior to every experience, even the experience I exist. You have to be there to experience I exist. And I exist is the first illusion, because that's the first time that duality is I and existence. No. You exist without needing to know existence. When you know your first know I exist, then there's spontaneously everything else is there too. Just like when you lay down and sleep at night, you have the deep sleep where there's no knowledge of existence. And then there's the I exist sensation, which spontaneously projects the dream world.
Thank you. sort of like one form just immediately proliferates into all forms, I guess.
Well, I am is the primary illusion. That's the primary, because you're prior to the experience, and now you're having an experience, so to speak, of existence. And now that you exist, we're not talking about I exist as this little thing, this limited thing. We're talking about the I that is real, the only I. The I, after you remove everything, can't be removed. Even the sense of existence can't remove the I to whom this sense of existence has appeared. And that is your own selfless self. When we talk about selfless self, that is selfless self. And I use the word presence because this is just the subtle feeling, but you could say the power or the energy. If you sit there in meditation, you could say you feel this very subtle energy, this like this flow. Or you could say the peace or the serenity. You feel this deep sensation. I say presence simply because it's the presence. Maybe that's because of my upbringing in America, where they talk about presence of God, and I call it presence because it's this formless, just beautiful presence, awareness. Nisargadatta Maharaj says consciousness. And Maharaj, Ramakant Maharaj, Sri Ramakant Maharaj says selfless self. And he also uses the words presence because he'll say the entire world appears upon your presence. And once you know your presence, you are, I am, I exist, then you know so many things. But this presence does not know I am presence. So therefore, until there's a knowingness that you exist, there's nothing. Because you're all of everything. So if you're everything, if you're the space in the room and there's nothing else, then there's no division. There's no like, this is where presence starts, this is where presence stops. Although there is, because the body form that appears within your spontaneous presence, you believe is yourself. So that creates the illusion of time, because this body ages and all this. So you, the formless, ageless, timeless presence, is observing a body-based existence in where there is a progression of time and a body that is aging. But you're not doing any of that.
And just like the dream seems like it's real, it seems like something's real when it's going on, or maybe after you look at the dream, it seems like the dream. I don't know.
Absolutely. And that's why Sri Ramakant Maharaj says, you're dreaming. How does he say you're dreaming? You are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Except your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. Nothing is there. You're dreaming. So, when you wake up, you won't see this existence, just like when you wake up from the nighttime dream, you don't see that dream anymore either. Now, if somebody were to tell you inside your dream, or you had the ability, that the night after night, you went into the dream and you knew you're dreaming and you could play in your dream and all this sort of stuff, then still you're not accomplishing anything. You're not acquiring anything. You can't take anything with you because it's illusion. And the same consciousness that creates the dream creates the so-called waking state based on I am a body. The body is like the entry into the illusion. It's your ante. You know, when you're playing poker and such, and everybody has to ante in before you take your cards and all of that. The body is the ante for you to experience the illusion from the perspective of I'm having an experience.
Yeah. it's hard to not invest yourself in that, but that's what.
Because of long association with the body. Because if you sit there and you say, wait a minute, Keith, what happens to Keith? What, you know, Keith has been a really good guy. I've tried to do nice things. You mean you tell me none of this matters? Whether I get married and have kids or whether I don't, whether I have a job or whether I don't. I mean, hell, I could just be a bum going around the whole world if nothing matters. But see, there's no Keith.
But Keith thinks it's better for me to win the game of or whatever.
Because you, the selfless self that's playing the game, as Keith, has a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
Keith. Remove this concept of Keith.
It's a dirty word now, Keith.
Well, and John. Remove this concept of John. Yeah. And who's in the fight? You're formless. Okay, so what does that do? That's it. You and see, this is kind of the last hurdle of, and this is why Maharaj says you have to have courage. Have courage to accept the reality, because the last little vestige of this is, so I didn't matter. None of this mattered. I mean nothing. You know, I'd rather sit there and go back to the concepts of religion and such, that everything happens for a reason and I'm part of the whole thing. But see, you are not. You do not exist. You are an illusion based on a projection, and you are the projector, not any of the projections. You are the formless dreamer. So you're laying down, here's body. But of course, the dream world is formless. Well, you're that creates that dream world experience without using body, without using anything. You project an entire world. And within the dream, you have eyes that can see, a nose that can smell, ears that can hear, and a body that can move. And yet you absolutely know within the dream, none of that is true. So whatever dream characters you meet, were their lives meaningless? No, they were spontaneous projections. As are you, as you believe yourself to be. As you are, you're nothing. And none of this has ever happened. And there's a huge freedom in that, because, okay, nothing's happening. So just do what's right in front. Now that you have this body, you have the ante in the game, play the game. But if you're losing or winning, all of that is just a perception of the mind that came along with the body that you are not.
To think that I'm like relieved of responsibility is just missing the, it's just an add-on, another concept, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of an ego type thing. That's why we talked about all the people who, they wear their hair long and all this kind of stuff, and they roam around India begging as, you know, Americans on holiday, having their spirituality and calling themselves sannyasis or sannyasis or something like that. And yeah, it's like, okay, now I can't work. No, I'm a non-doer. But I still like eating. And a lot of them were, you know, mom and dad's credit card is helping on my trip through India, because I am a non-doer. I don't go to college or anything like that. I'm having my spiritual self. I'm experiencing my spiritual self. And Maharaj says, that's total nonsense. So throw this idea away. You're here. And as you're here, while you have a body, know yourself in a real sense, and then enjoy. Nothing so serious. Like Maharaj talks about, peacefulness, unlimited, because you're not disturbing that peace. Tension-free life, fearless life. Fearless because who is there to harm? You are you. You are everything. So there's no harm. There's no worry about this sort of thing. Take care of the body, but don't worry so much about the body.
The selfless self probably doesn't know anything about the false self, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I was going to say it might be a little sad if it sees that the false self is acting out. Maybe that would disturb the real self, but I guess not.
Yeah, no. The you that you are has never had the experience of anything.
And it's like a dream.
Yeah. This story, you know, let's say this is a TV show and John is for 20 years playing this certain character and going through all these different experiences and all that. Then the show's canceled. And that's it. There's no like, I mean, in our world, there'd be reruns and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a bad example because it's basically when the drama, and I think they use the example of the theater. The movie's over, screen closes, you walk away, and that's it. All the characters, all those guys, they may be, what are they doing now? The actors you may see in different other movies, but that movie, it's like, okay, it's finished, and you walk away. And this is the same thing. You're not walking away, but let's say on a deathbed right now, a doctor comes in and says, you won't make it through the night. This is a fantastic time to be with mantra, to remain with your selfless self. You say, you know what, Maharaj? I don't yet have spontaneous conviction, but I'm going to sit here and remain with mantra, and the mantra will be my last breath from this body. Because I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. I have full faith and trust in the Master.
Does that mean mantra, engaging with mantra will be there till the death of the body?
Well, mantra, if you think about, without disclosing the mantra, breathing in and breathing out, that's the natural sound that the mantra is making. So the mantra is like the breathe in, the breathe out. The breathe in, the breathe out. It's constant. And you're always reminding yourself, who am I, so that I. Who am I, so that, you know, like this. Or aham brahmasmi, I am Brahman, Brahman I am. I am Brahman, Brahman I am. So this is because you won't be thinking about dying if you're reciting mantra and remaining with your selfless self and having full faith and trust in the Master. You won't, because that's the thing. If you think about dying, then you'll take the touch of the mind's projections of what dying is going to be and how is dying, and I hope there's something, and what about me? Well, as mantra, you erase this illusory layer slowly, silently, and permanently, because there is no you that's dying. You are that which cannot die, which cannot go anywhere, which never was born, which hasn't changed, which can't be altered, which is totally pure because there's never been an impurity. Because impurity is an attribute. And see, if you look at it that, and if you remove all attributes, all slowly, silently, and permanently, even the concept of purity isn't really there because you're removing all this illusory layers. Prior to beingness, you didn't know about purity. Prior to beingness, you didn't know awareness. Prior to beingness, you didn't know God. After leaving the body, you will not know awareness, you will not know purity, and you will not know God.
So you don't have to go to hell to make up for your sins.
No. Because, see, one time a friend of mine, he told me, when I first came back from India, he said, so what if you're wrong, John? And God punishes you for all of this, you know, bowing to Maharaj and all that, and sends you to hell. Immediately, it kind of impressed in me as funny as, what would go to hell?
Yeah.
What would there be that could go to a hell? It doesn't, you know, maybe prior because of not knowing, but after meeting a guru, what would go to hell? What would go to heaven? How? you know, all the people who say, oh, heaven, all everything is most beautiful and everything is wonderful, but you're taking your body there. You're trying to project yourself as an image of what you're going to see as a body, maybe on a cloud, or maybe like Robin Williams had a really cool movie about heaven where everything was like paint and it was all his projections and all this. And that was very cool, but still that's individual and that's creative imagination. You're attributeless. You don't have any attributes whatsoever. Formlessness, invisible, unidentified identity, anonymous. There's no name for you. Many names have been given for you, but none of them are true because they came along with the body, which you are not. Oh, it's 8:23. Oh, I must say goodbye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.